Alright, so you heard that, right? Okay, so Samson goes to Philistine, okay, and what does he see? He sees a very good looking woman. Okay, so the first thing he saw is this good looking woman, and then what does he do? He comes to his parents and he says, get me this girl as my wife. Now, a few things I want to talk about this, okay, so I will touch upon multiple areas in this one point. It might not be exactly systematic, but I will touch multiple points and then we go to the next one. So you have to kind of stay a little focused on this, alright? Now, first failure that Samson had, okay, that he dishonored his parents. He dishonored his parents. Now, why am I touching upon this important point? Normally when you go for camps, you hear the sin of adultery, you hear about the sin of fornication, you hear about the sin of excessive drunkenness, you hear about the sin of lying, you hear about the sin of cheating, but rarely do you hear the sin of disobeying or dishonoring your parents. Okay? Now why am I going to stress on this? Because of late, I have been coming across too many young people who do not know how to honor their parents. Sunday morning, they raise their hands, they worship, but they go back home and they slam the door on their mothers and their fathers. Not acceptable. Okay? Now, I'm going to take the liberty to kind of be a little blunt on this. Reason being, you know the Word of God. I'm not talking to a group who doesn't know the Word of God. Alright? Your elders have given me the freedom to come and talk this to you, so I'm going to talk this to you. Alright? So you just have to be a little open when I speak this to you. Now, if you look at the Old Testament, do you know what was the punishment for dishonoring your father? Stone him to death. Do you know what the punishment was for homosexuality? Stone to death. Do you know what the punishment was for having sex with an animal? Stone to death. Does it form the same category? Or is it different categories? Answer me. You said stone to death. Same category, different category? Same or different? Oh, you don't have the guts to say it. It is the same. It is the same. Now, before I go to the next point, I want you, each one of you, to understand this. Okay? There are principles of God that work for the believer and for the unbeliever. Okay? Because God created the whole universe. Physics, mathematics, social science, everything works based on His principle. He is above all. He is sovereign over all. That is who God is. Alright? He formed all. He made all. That is what Colossians 15 says, right? By Him, everything was made. Right? By Him and for Him and through Him. Christ is all and in all. So, God's principles don't change between believer and unbeliever. For a believer or an unbeliever, if you don't honor your father and mother, the Bible says it will not go well with you. Now, I'm going to tell you something from my experience. Can you guess how old I am? I'll give you a gift. Who said 30? I love you, man. 30. What else? 35. 35, yeah. I'm in between. I'm 33, okay? In my 33 years, whoever calls me 25 and all that, I'm happy, okay? I'm good. So, anybody, in my 33 years, maybe what? I've been sensible for the past 25 years or so. One thing I can tell you, okay, in my experience, the people I have seen with my own bare eyes, I have not seen a single person who has dishonored their parents and done well in life. I repeat, in my life, in the short span, I have not seen a single person, a boy or a girl, who has done well in life after dishonoring their parents. See, when I say done well in life, doesn't mean earthly success, okay? Don't get me confused. Whenever we talk about abundance, whenever we talk about prosperity, we talk about only about the living that abundant life. It has nothing to do with worldly success, material gain, nothing. Alright? I'm talking about doing well in life, being blessed of the Lord, the favor of the Lord being upon them. I have never seen a single person. Okay? And that was my thesis. And recently I heard a man, 70-year-old, I mean, he was a sociologist or some kind of a guy, and he said the same thing. He said, I have lived 70 years and I'm yet to see one man or one woman who's done well in life who has dishonored their parents. Okay, I have a different series on honoring your father and mother. Totally, I will not touch upon that right now. First failure, Samson did not honor his parents. God takes it very, very seriously. He doesn't bend rules. He takes it very seriously. We all learn the verse when we are in Sunday school, right? The only commandment with a promise is that you honor your father and mother, that everything might go well with you and you might live a long life in the land that the Lord is giving you. We learn that verse. But we don't honor. We don't honor. One decision. See, every time I say something, I want you to make a decision. If that is an area that you or me, we are lacking in, before we go from this place, we should confess, saying, God, we have not been honoring our father and mother. We want to go back and we will say sorry and we will honor them. With me? Are you with me? Yes? Everything is an area of correction. See, there's no point me saying 5 points here and then going back. It will not help anybody, alright? I'm being very honest with you. You have to make those corrections. I have to make those corrections. When we go back home, we will honor our parents. And that is not only for young people, that is for even grown-ups. It is my responsibility to honor my father and my mother. Samson faltered there. Okay, now I'm going to take a slight deviation. Okay, this has nothing to do with the Samson's life in that sense, but it is a little applicable for us. Samson also said, I want to marry this Philistine lady. Is he supposed to marry the Philistine? No. Why? Because God said, do not be unequally yoked. Hey, you guys are sleeping or not or what? Or did I scare you? What is the scene? Huh? Did I scare you? You can always go say sorry to your parents here. Don't worry. They're not going to kill you. I think I scared the daylights out of some of you. I don't... Alright, what... You know, the point I want to make here is take a small deviation, because many of you sitting here, I kind of see are getting into an age where soon you will get into relationships and get married. Okay? I did a long session last time on love, sex and lasting relationships, right? Last time. But one thing, very quickly. See, when you look for a life partner, when you look for a relationship with a boy or a girl, okay? There is no bending of the rules when it comes to when God said, you shall not be unequally yoked. There is no bending of the rules. Okay? And what I'm trying to say here is, why it's become so important to me nowadays, is that I see so many of my friends, okay, by the grace of God, I've got a wonderful wife, so many of my friends getting into these relationships that God doesn't ordain, and then struggling in their Christian life. Struggling. You and I don't want to make that mistake. Because it's a commitment for life. Let's not make that mistake. Okay, I'm taking a couple of deviations here. We will not be unequally yoked. And I want you to take that decision and go back. Okay? God will provide the right person for you. Just hold on. Do not be unequally yoked. Okay? And when I say do not be unequally yoked, it is not about saying, hey, you believer, no? Finish. Story over. No. That's not what I mean. Okay? I was waiting for you to say, oh, born again. Oh, he uses those 2-3 words. Born again, baptized, finished, ready, we are set. Match made in heaven. No. What I'm trying to say is, if you are a person who desires to walk God's way, you need somebody who has the same desire, who's under the authority of God, who desires God more than everything. You want that kind of person. When you run, you want somebody who'll run at the same speed. Equally yoked means what? One oxen is running at 10 kilometers per hour and the other oxen is running at 15 kilometers per hour. How does it help? Doesn't help. You need both of them, you know. So it's that's what I'm trying to say. It's not about saying, oh, you're a cow, I'm a cow, let's just get yoked. No. Equally yoked means under the submission, under the authority of God. God will give us the grace. Okay, so this stage of life, don't make a wrong choice. Don't make a wrong choice. God will provide for you the right person. Okay? So Samson made a mistake. He made a massive mistake in running after this Philistine lady. But the biggest mistake I'm trying to say is he dishonored his parents. Because his parents told, Samson, that's not good for you. That's not good for you. I will get you a wife from your own clan. Why do you want to go to the Philistines and get a wife for yourself? But he did that. He disobeyed. And that dishonoring of his parents cost him a lot. What do we see at the end? Samson died young. Samson died young. Now, we don't want that. See, when I say die young, what I mean to say is, in the prime of his career, when God could have used him, when he could have done so many more exploits, he died young because he did not honor his father and mother. So, will we go back deciding? Are you with me? Huh? Will we go back deciding that we will honor our parents? Yes or no? Don't forget, the punishment for this and the other sins that I just mentioned is the same. Alright? So we will honor our parents. Okay, number two. I've got a lot of references there, but we'll skip all of that. Okay. Number two, looking at the life of Samson. We heard that he's supposed to be a Nazarite. He's supposed to abstain from wine and things like that. Samson, number two, what he did is, he was hanging around in the wrong places. Okay? He was hanging around the wrong places. He was walking too close to the boundary. Okay? If you look at, the chapter 16, okay? You see that he was partying with some people. Alright? It says that he threw a feast. You know the story of Samson? The whole story? How he met Delilah. Before that, how he tried to get another wife for himself, and then how he killed 1,000 people with a jawbone. You know the story, right? Yes or no? Okay, alright. So, he was partying with 30 people. Okay? What is a Nazarite supposed to be? He's supposed to abstain from wine. That is one. Sister said that he's not even supposed to be having anything to do with wine. Not the production of wine. Not being around it. But what was Samson trying to do? I don't know if he had or not. He would have. I mean, knowing Samson, after doing all of this, he would have had a little bit of wine also. I don't know. But the point I'm trying to make here is, evening comes, and what is Samson doing? He's partying with 30 of his best friends. Now, as Christians, let me tell you this. It is impossible. Okay, I tried it, and I'm telling you, once in a while I still try it. But it's impossible to be part of the world and also be a child of God. It is not possible. Okay, make it very clear. The word of God says friendship with the world is enmity with God. It is not possible. Now, when I say that, let me qualify my statement. It doesn't mean that tomorrow you see your friends and you run in the other direction. No. That you understand, right? That's basic common sense. I don't have to tell you that. What I'm trying to say is, you cannot be the best of friends with the world and still be a child of God. Not possible. Not possible. What was Samson doing? He said, okay, you come over. I will throw a feast for you. Let us have a nice time. Let us party. You can have your wine. A feast in the Old Testament means wine. Okay, that's what it means. It's not just food. It means wine. He said, let's have a good time. Second thing, he walked so close to the boundary. So close to the boundary. You know, I go for youth camps. And normally we have a Q&A session, right? Question answer session. Do you have that? I didn't see it last time. Normally we have a Q&A box, a big box, and people will put all their questions, anonymous questions in that, right? And I'm not a great prophet or a mind reader or anything, okay? But I will tell you, 95% of those questions I know, even before I read it. I know. I'm telling you now, right now, I know 95% of the basis of the questions that young people ask. So fundamentally, if you categorize all these questions, you know what it means? They will ask me questions like this. Cherry, can I do this? Can I watch this? Can I have a relationship with this? Fundamentally, the question is simple. Tell me where that line is. Where is this line? Okay? So that I can walk here. You know? That is what they are asking me, right? Tell me where that line is, categorically. So I will walk close to the line. After experimenting, I will tell you from experience. You walk near the line, you're finished. You are finished. If you are a child of God, the best thing to do is like Joseph did. Run for your life. Run for your life. He who thinketh he stands strong, let him be careful lest he fall. He who thinks he stands strong, let him be careful lest he fall. That is the fundamental principle of the Bible. If you think that is the line, my friend, you walk 300 kilometers away from that line. Better for you. Samson was flirting with sin. Samson was flirting with sin. The speciality of sin, I will tell you, okay? This is not just theology. This is experience. The very interesting part of sin is this. Have you ever seen, okay, we flip on the television. Have you ever seen an advertisement for a brand which is into alcohol, like a Backpiper or a Kingfisher? Have you ever seen an ad which says, this is the result of Kingfisher, and then they show you a man vomiting in the toilet? Have you ever seen that? He's puking in the toilet? Have you ever seen that? You'll never see that. That is how sin advertises itself. You will never see that. People will never show you the ugly side of sin. A movie will show you an illicit affair. It will never show you the brokenness and the hurt it causes into a marriage relationship. Never. But that is the reality of sin. Sin will never have any mercy on you or me. Let me tell you that. Sin will have no mercy on you and me. Sin starts small, doesn't end small. It starts small, doesn't end small. Why am I telling you this? Okay? Some of you would have made a commitment to follow Jesus. Okay? Some of you might have made a commitment to follow Jesus. And always, it is one thing that keeps you from making that full-on choice. One thing. And it's called sin. Simple. It is not intellect. Okay, we can get into the theological discussion later. It is always a moral issue that will keep us from Jesus. We will substantiate it with 100 different things. That's a different story. But it's sin that always keeps us from throwing ourselves into the hands of our Savior. Isn't that true? Yes or no? Yes or no? So, what I'm trying to tell you is, if it is that one thing that is keeping us from our Savior, if that's the boundary line, walk far. Do not flirt with sin. Because what starts small will not remain small. Okay? And that is what we learn from the life of Samson. First, you see, he saw this Philistine lady. Okay? He dishonored his parents. Then he was partying with all these people when he should be abstaining from wine. And then finally, what we see, he went down and he met a prostitute, a harlot, at Gaza. That's what the Bible says. Look at where Samson started. The judge of Israel started there, ended up with a harlot. It can happen to you, it can happen to me. It's the grace of God that keeps us from all of that. Huh? Let's not take that for granted. It's the grace of God. So treat sin ruthlessly. Treat sin ruthlessly. Now, when I say this to you, you might be thinking, this is advice for you, right? Correct. But that's advice for me also. It's a lot of advice for me. I am not beyond the ages. See, don't ever think that after that age, you are beyond all these sins. Huh? Not at all. Not at all. Many times, young people, we don't want to commit ourselves fully, thinking that if I commit myself right now, I will lose another 10 years of my life. You think after 10 years, you will have the ability to say no to that? I'm telling you, you cannot. The grip of sin is so hard. Certain sins that I was tempted at 23, 18, 19, I still have. And I still have to resist it with the same zeal that I used to resist it earlier. There are seasons. I know there are seasons. God has ordained seasons. That's what David said, you know. Do not count the sins of my youth. Yes, there are sins in the youth. There are certain things that appeal to the youth. I do not deny any of those. I've crossed certain phases of it. But don't think that sin will let its grip off you the moment you cross 40. That is wrong. That is wrong understanding. The truth cannot be farther than that. So if I have a tendency, walk away. Walk away. Do not negotiate. Do not negotiate. Because anybody who has tried walking on that tight line, no? I'm telling you, he has flopped. He has flopped. It's like Daniel who said, we will not come to the king's table, right? Or did Daniel go and say, smells good. Ah, now I'll say no to it. Is that what he said? Even when the offer was made, he said, no, thank you. Thank you, sir, for your offer. You can have it. Do not negotiate. No, do not negotiate with sin. Samson flirted too much. Samson flirted too much. Now, you might tell me, okay? I'll tell you what is the question that you are asking. I'll tell you now itself. Again, I'm not a prophet. I'll tell you. I know all of this. I'm not supposed to negotiate with sin. See, your smile is already telling me that I just confirmed your question. Okay? We'll get to that later. Okay? I know we are not supposed to sin, but I still do. But I still do. Okay, we'll address that later. Okay? And let me also tell you, all these things cannot be addressed by one sermon. It's the work of God. God has to work in our hearts to create a repulsive attitude towards sin. Otherwise, we will always enjoy sin. Let me tell you that. Huh? God has to do that work in our lives. So, number two, let me move. Then we'll come back to that later. He was hanging around in the wrong places. Okay? So, if you know that there are places in your life which you should not hang around, you mark it and you will not negotiate with it. If you think that there is a gray area in your life, you mark it and you will not negotiate with. You will stay away as much as possible from every relationship that will drag you down, from every habit that can drag you down, from every entertainment that can drag you down. You will keep yourself away from all of that. You will not negotiate with it. Sin doesn't start small. Let me tell you, if you think that the small sin you can handle it, you cannot. It doesn't stay that way. It always ends up with the harlot in Gaza. Okay? Never forget that. Okay. Number three. Okay? First of all, what? He dishonored his parents. Number two, he was hanging around in the wrong places. Okay? He was walking too close to the boundary. Number three, he abused his gifts. Now, if you look at the life of Samson, I think you all need a small break. Eh? You need to get up and move your kind of body a little bit. And then we should continue or? No? It's okay? You want to continue sleeping or what are you trying to say? Huh? Okay. Let's do this. And then maybe in between we'll try to do this. So, he abused his gifts. Now, this can happen. See, after, I will not blame you, okay? Even if you buy any, so far I don't see any dosing heads, but even if you dose, no problem. I will not hold it against you. I have dosed so many times. So, don't worry. See, Samson was a very intelligent man. Who was Samson? I mean, let me just try to see how many more points I have. Then I will. Samson was realize that he's a very strong man, right? And I would believe that for his culture, having long hair, he would have looked good also. I don't know. Maybe not. But maybe he was a good-looking guy also. He was very sharp in his mind. Very sharp in his mind. Alright? He used to throw riddles, right? That's how they started that entire thing. He used to throw riddles. Very sharp guy. He used to make riddles out of his own experience. And he was spiritually spirit-filled. If you want to call him, he was a spirit-filled Christian. Right? That was what he was. The Spirit of the Lord would come upon him and then he would just, yank a lion inside out. Tuck. Over. That was Samson. So, in short, he was, if there was a Israel matrimony, like Bharat matrimony during that time, he would be like Israel's most eligible bachelor. No doubt about it. At least in the Jewish community. Right? Spirit-filled. Yeah? Smart-looking, handsome, 5'10", or whatever, irrespective. That was Samson. Intelligent, smart, strong, and spiritual. That was Samson. Why was he made a judge? Why was he made a judge? To rescue the Israelites, right? He was supposed to fight the Philistines. That is why he was made a judge in the first place. And look at Samson. This strong man, this talented young man, what was he doing? First, he throws a party, correct? He throws a party for his 30 people. Then after that, what does he do? He says, you solve this riddle, and then what will I do? If you win, I will get you 30 pairs of clothes and 30 sheets. Otherwise, if I win and you're not able to crack the riddle, you will get me 30 sheets and 30 change of clothes, right? Wasn't that the deal, right? And then what happens? What happens? Tell me the story here. Come on. After the challenge was posted, what happens? Come on. All you Bible-knowing people. Come on, quick. Otherwise, I'll ask your elders and that'll be very embarrassing. Huh? Because if they don't know it, it's going to be very bad. quick. Yes. You're the man. So they tried it the other way, the backdoor entry. He tried it with Samson's wife. Okay, the party is going on, the wedding banquet is going on. They tried it through Samson's wife. Then what happened? Story all, they came to know the riddle. And finally, they came and told Samson, this is the answer. And Samson immediately knew. He said, you have plowed my heifer. You came through the backdoor, that's why you got the riddle. And he was angry. Okay, he was very angry. And in that anger, what did he do? He went and he killed 30 people. And took their belongings. Right? Amazing, amazing. Look at Samson. When he wants 30 change of clothes, just go kill 3 people and take their shirts off. Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? But what is Samson supposed to do? What is Samson supposed to do? He should be fighting the Lord's battle. God's anointed one is fighting his own battles, getting clothes, throwing parties, solving riddles. Is there a lower place a person, a man of God can be? He's entertaining people, throwing parties, fighting his battles out of vengeance when he's supposed to fight God's battles. I'll tell you this, okay? There will be a small percentage of you, okay? Very small percentage of you. Let me just assume that it's a small percentage. Sitting here thinking, I am so and so. I am 25 years of age. I'm an insignificant person sitting in one corner, living life. I've got my friends. I've got my fun. What are you talking about the Lord's battles? It doesn't concern me at all. Okay? This might be what you're thinking. Maybe. Maybe that is what you. Or, you might be thinking, how in the heavens will I fight the Lord's battles when I'm struggling with my own battles? Okay? I will tell you one thing. If you look at the Bible talks about young people who have turned the world upside down. Young people who have turned the world upside down. Samuel? Look at Samuel. Young fellow. Okay, when the entire nation of Israel was godless and there was no word from God, Samuel stood his ground. He was there near the Ark of the Covenant. That was his place. He decided, young or not, this is where I belong. Look at Timothy. Look at Gideon. Look at Jeremiah. Young people. Point I'm trying to make is, God will use. He can use your youth. He can use your energy. But if you think that I've got my own battles, I've got my fun to make, it will not work. God has ordained you to fight His battles. How dare we kind of make it so light and fight our own stupid battles of partying and wasting our energy and time after the things of the world? What such fools will be to do something like that. When God is saying, you fight the nation, fight for the nation of Israel, and here He is throwing a party and killing 30 people for their shirts. Terrible, isn't it? So this is what happens when we lose vision. We lose vision of the greater cause. Young people normally commit their life to the Lord Jesus. You know why? They want to escape hell. Yes or no? Be honest. Come on. I had more guts than you guys when I was young. I used to say, yes, I don't want to go to hell. Otherwise, even if you want to send me to hell, send me with an AC. I'm okay. You know, that's how I was. You know, I didn't want to go to hell. That's the reason I wanted to accept Jesus, because somebody told me, you accept Jesus, you won't go to hell, which is true. But now I know that it's bigger than that. That life is better than that. That Jesus is worth pursuing more than for the excuse of not going to hell. He's more glorious than that. He's more beautiful than that. And how do I understand that? By pursuing His call. By pursuing His delight. If I pursue my own battles and if I pursue my own desires, I'll end up like Samson. Killing 30 people. Instead of rescuing Israel. So, let's not play games. Life is much more serious. Life is much more, it's fun, no doubt about it. Life is much more bigger than just fighting our, you know, 2 cents worth battle with some friends and partying and hanging around in the wrong places. God's got something much bigger, much, much bigger than we can imagine. If we can only say, God, my battle, I'm not interested. Your battle, tell me. I'm there. But you need to make that choice. Okay? Alright. And then what happens after that? What happens after he gets the 30 sheets and the 30 changes of clothes? My friend. Brilliant young man. What happens after that? When I tell you, you all say, oh, yeah. Anybody else? Nobody? Okay. What happens after that is this. The Philistines are very angry with Samson. Yeah? Very angry with Samson. And they say, who's this guy? And they said, no, the son-in-law of that Timnah guy. You know? He's the Samson. His name is Samson. He's the guy who created. Then what did Samson do? He's full of vengeance. He's angry. So he catches 300 foxes, ties their tails together, sets it ablaze, right? And full massive destruction to the vineyard, to the haystack, massive problem. Then the Philistines are like mad. And what does he do? And his brothers come and tell him, Samson, you are creating so much of a problem for us. The Philistines are like really angry with him. He said, don't worry, you just send me, you catch me, I will sacrifice myself, you put me there. And then they tied him together and put him there. And then what happened? He broke the chains as if it was like some twine and all that. Tuck, 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 over. Popeye the Sailor Man. Have you seen that? Yeah? Yeah? And then he's out. And then 1,000 people come against him. And then what does he do? He takes a jawbone, finishes. I mean, unbelievable guy. Right? He's fighting one battle after the other. Based on what? Based on his vengeance. And he's not interested in fighting the Lord's battle. Now one point, small deviation from there, okay? If you read your Bibles very carefully, verses I think 1 to 4, you read 1 to 4, right? Yeah? Or 1 to 3. Yeah, if you read verse 4, in brackets it is written, they did not know, means Samson's parents did not know that the Lord had already ordained this so that he might find a way to punish the Philistines. Okay, did you get it? Or you didn't? Huh? You got the point? Or you want me to repeat? Okay, I'll repeat. What it's saying is, Samson disobeyed. He dishonored his parents. He did something he was not supposed to do. Okay? And in brackets it's written, the Lord had already ordained this. Why? So that the Philistines could be punished. Because in this whole process, he's going to kill 1,000 people, right? Or more than that. So what I'm trying to make clear to you is, God will use even your foolishness. He will use Judas's betrayal. He will use everything for his plan. That is God. He's sovereign over everything. He's sovereign over Kim Jong-un, whoever wants to create a nuclear war. He is sovereign over them also. So in case they shoot a missile also, he's sovereign over it. He knows how to use every single thing for his glory. Okay, even when the devil thinks it's all over, God has got his own strategy. That is God. But look at Samson. We might look at Samson and say, wow, he's being used of God to kill 1,000 people. But look at his life. Terrible, isn't it? Terrible. The man who should be leading the people of Israel to a closer walk with God, wasting his life, fighting his own battles, running after women and wine. Can happen to you. Can happen to you if you don't treat sin ruthlessly. Can happen to me. Can happen to me. Okay, so what are the points? Quickly. Number one, dishonored his? Number two, oh, you're awake. Thank you. Number two. You guys are some serious students here. Normally, I will ask the question and I'll fill in the blanks myself, you know. Number three. And number four. I haven't told you. Yeah, that's right. I haven't told you. Okay. This is a longer passage, so I'll just tell you the passage, okay? Now, if you read chapter 16 is what? Is where Samson goes after the harlot. Okay, that is the 16, the beginning verses, where Samson goes after the harlot. You know the verses before that, what it was? The verses above that is where Samson is killing 1,000 people. And it says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson and he killed 1,000 people. And the next verse is what? He goes down to Gaza to meet a harlot. Okay, now I'm going to give you a very serious warning. Okay, this is a very serious warning. Some of us take the grace of God for granted. Some of us. I have done it so many times. Let me be very honest with you. Okay, we take the grace of God for granted. And it is the most dangerous thing that can happen to you and me. It can be the most dangerous. You please register. You forget everything else. You register this one point in your head. Taking the grace of God for granted can be the most dangerous thing that a Christian can encounter in his life. Okay? And that is why David prayed. You know, I don't know when David, if you remember that passage where he said, God, let me fall into your hands. You remember that? That passage, anybody? Anyway, let's not divert. Anyway, let me finish this for you. Okay? So, this is what happens. Yeah. This is what happens. Samson is doing his thing one after the other. He's killing people. And then he meets his, I think, the fourth woman registered. Okay. Her name is what? Delilah. Right? And Delilah, he meets Delilah. And then Delilah says, if you love me, You will tell me the secret of your energy. And he said what? Boost. No. What do you say? So they tried different things, right? See, I'll tell you one more thing. Practical advice, huh? This is all practical advice. When you get into relationships, okay, sisters especially, if a guy comes and tells you, if you love me, you will do this, na? Say bye-bye, tata. Okay, then itself. Anything that they come and tell you, which is out of the word of God, if they come and tell you, if you love me, if they use that clause, no, immediately say, thank you very much, see you later, okay? And the same thing here also rarely happens, but I'm telling you, here also, in the context of love, all these nonsense may happen, alright? So Delilah tried this gimmick, and it worked also with Samson. Okay, he was so far from God, that he fell for everything, okay? Finally, he gave this, he said, you know, you tie me with new ropes, and you do this, and you do that. Finally, he said, the secret of my strength is in my hair. And then, lo and behold, she cries out saying, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And then what does Samson do? Tuck, 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 he breaks everything and then he goes and kills all the Philistines, right? Huh? After his hair was shaven? No? What happened? Huh? I'll read the words for you. You should read this verse. See, sometimes Sunday school stories and all, we forget all these verses. Okay, this is what... No, don't turn there. I will read it for you. Then she called, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. He had just done it three times before, right? But, next verse, be very careful. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Now, this is why I tell you, I tremble at that verse. I tremble at that verse. Imagine waking up one morning, going around even preaching, not knowing that the Lord had left us. Just imagine for a moment. You do the thing, you say the right words, you might be involved in ministry, you might be building churches. Okay, and this is applicable for everybody, people in the back, people in the front, everybody. And you go around doing your thing, and you don't even realize that the Lord is not smiling anymore. What a terrible situation that will be, huh? What a terrible situation that will be. That happened to the synagogue in Jerusalem. And this is what Jesus said. Not one stone will remain over the other. The entire temple was finished. A place that God used as his dwelling. And they did not even know. They thought they were doing God a great service by killing Jesus on the cross. You know? The Pharisees thought they were doing a massive, massive, massive favor to the Lord by killing Jesus on the cross. Why? Because the Lord had departed and they did not even know. It's like when the Philistines captured the ark and the wife of Phinehas, you know, she named her son this, what did he name him? Ichabod. The glory has departed. What a shame it will be. You know, the presence of God is so precious, huh? Very precious. Don't take it for granted. That is why Moses said, God told Moses, you know what God told Moses? You guys read the Bible, you know, I wouldn't talk like this to other people. You guys know the Bible, that's why I'm telling you. What did God tell Moses? I'm going to send you to a land of milk and honey. Right? You go, but I will not go. You've got it all. Milk, honey, works, stuff done, prosperity, you go. I will even send an angel before you. And then what did Moses say? What did Moses say? Hey, come on. What did Moses say? Oh, praise the Lord. Next Sunday morning testimony also. God has given me a land of milk and honey. It's just like America. Amazing. I'm going. Visa, passport, H-1B, everything over. I'm leaving. Is that what Moses said? Moses said, Lord, if you are not going, we are not going. I mean, as Christians, this is what we are. If the Lord is not in it, it doesn't matter how lucrative the job offer is, we are not taking it. Period. If you are not going, God, we are not going. And this is what Moses said. Lord, what else will differentiate us from the world? What else will differentiate us from the world? The presence of God is the only differentiator for you and me. The only differentiator. It's not money. It is not talents. It's not miracles. It's not that. It's the presence of Yahweh God that differentiates us. Let us not take it lightly. We've been saved by grace. Not for a moment, like Paul said, let us take it lightly. That's why he says in Romans, let us ensure our election and call. You read that verse, no? Have you read that verse or not? Huh? Somewhere. make sure of your election and your call. So two things I want to say here. Number one, for all you people who are sure that you are saved, who call yourselves born again baptized Christians. Okay, there are people who are here who know that they are saved. Okay, for them I am telling you, make sure of your election and call. The last thing we want is we being so sure that we are saved and the Lord not with us. That would be a disaster. That would be a disaster. And number two, for people who have not been born again, let's not be like Samson. Let's not be like Samson. Grace is there. Grace is there. Number five. Okay, let's do a recollect. Number one. Number two. What is that? Yeah. Okay, number three. What's that? Number four. I didn't give a title, is it? Okay, let me also find that. He deceived himself, squandering the grace of God. He deceived himself, squandering the grace of God. Okay? Number five. I've got one more point and then we are done. Thank you for not sleeping, okay? I really appreciate you. Honestly. Okay, I couldn't do it. I'm telling you, I wouldn't be able to do it. So final, what is the final finale of Samson? The last piece. Huh? Death. Yeah. So can somebody elaborate what happened? I'm just trying to keep you awake, okay? I know you all know the story. Yes. Yeah. They gouged his eyes out. They basically plucked his eyes out. Yeah. And then he took... Yeah. Excellent. That's exactly what I wanted. So they gouged his eyes out. And then what happened? They took him to the temple of Dagon. And they asked... First they put him in prison, right? And then they asked him to do what? Grind mill. I mean, to kind of, you know, do the work of an animal. That's what he did. They treated him worse than an animal. And after that, what did they do? They said, Samson, come and entertain us. And this mighty man of God was entertaining the pagans in the temple of Dagon. Imagine with me, you lived during the time of Samson. You would have seen this He-Man, okay, taking gates and pillars and thrashing these Philistines. Okay, that is one scene you saw. Lion, bear, no problem. If Samson is there, nothing to worry. And then the last scene is he's dancing to the pagans. And you know what the pagans say? Okay, they're having a praise and worship concert. Okay, pagans can also have good praise and worship. Big praise and worship concert is going on. What is happening? They are thanking their God for what? For delivering our enemy into our hands. This is what we also say sometimes. You know, oh Lord, we thank. This is exactly what the pagans are also doing. Lord, we thank you for delivering our enemy into our hands. And they are praising whom? Dagon. The man who should have brought glory and honor to Israel has become the reason why the pagans are glorifying their God. I mean, how can you even relate these two things together? I'm not able to even put my mind around this. The man who should have been the glory of Israel is the reason why the pagans are thanking their God. There's another man, a judge. His name was Gideon. Heard of him? Huh? The exact opposite happened. Exactly the opposite happened. Pagan God fell in front of Yahweh. The judge was supposed to bring honor to Israel. And in spite of that, what happened in this case? Pagans were praising their God. Now this can happen to all of us. That's why I think in 1 Peter it says, right? Because of you, the name of God is being blasphemed among the Gentiles. Because of you, because of me, the name of God is being blasphemed among the Gentiles. So, that is terrible. Okay? So the sixth point I want to make is, he became bad advertisement. Samson became bad advertisement. Next time anybody, this is the Old Testament, right? Any Philistine would hear the name of Yahweh, what would he say? The God of Samson? No big deal. Our Dagon is greater. That is what they would say. You take it in contrast to what happened in Joshua's time. The people of Jericho were trembling. We've heard of your God. And here was Samson becoming bad advertisement for the name of Yahweh. So you choose. You choose. Fortunately, the story doesn't end there, right? Fortunately. What's the last piece of it? Now, I need the next volunteer. Yeah. 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 Excellent. Excellent. Now, that's the best piece of it, okay? I mean, if you want to hear the message of grace, you should come to me. Okay, my album, my first album is also called Grace Alone. Okay, if you have need some copies, you can take it from me. I think I've got some 10 copies. It's called Grace Alone. I'm a huge advocate of grace. The next verse, after all of this, says, but Samson's hair started to grow. And then Samson cried out to God saying this, what? God, would you strengthen me one more time? One more time. And then the last verse says that Samson killed more people during his death than when he was alive. So though there were these six things that we can learn from the life of Samson, okay, the high cost of low living, the high cost of low living, we can also know that there's a God of grace. There's a God of grace. You come to Hebrews 11, yeah, you see whose name? Along with Abraham and Isaac and Jephthah and Gideon, whose name? You see Samson's name. I mean, aren't you glad you serve a God like that? I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I came here and told you what to do, what not to do and all that. That's true. But God knows my heart. He knows where I failed. And He still wants to give me a second chance. But Samson's hair started to grow again. Today, I don't know how many of you made New Year resolutions. What all you made, I have no clue, right? I don't know the decisions you made last camp also. Maybe you're coming here sitting wondering, why did you ever make those decisions? I made those decisions just to break them. There's a God who can give you a second chance. Not only a second chance, a third chance, fourth chance. Anybody on the 100, 200, 300, you come to me. I will show you. That's our God. The story that I always say, if you've been to any of my camps, you would have definitely heard the story, but I have to close with the story. It's a favorite story of mine. I've been using it for the past 10 years. His name is Roy Rakels, okay? My favorite man. And if you've heard it, you just have to enjoy it one more time. I can't help you. Roy Rakels was the star player of the University of Georgia Tech, okay? He was the star player, University of Georgia Tech. University of Georgia Tech was one of the best teams that used to play for the Rose Bowl. So one of the Rose Bowls were going on, and the University of Georgia Tech was playing against another university. And Roy Rakels had like this huge fan following, right? Massive fan following. So Roy Rakels was the star player. He had this massive fan following. So during when the match kicked off, Roy was like full on, right? Full energy. He's like waiting to go, full of energy. The moment he got his ball, you know, American football, you don't kick, right? I mean, you kick, but you normally run with the ball. So he got the ball and he was running to score the goal. But instead of running against his opponent, he started running into his own goalpost. Happened. He got so excited. He didn't know what to do. He had so much of adrenaline pumping in his body. He took the ball, ran into his own goalpost. And people who saw this started shouting, Roy, wrong way. Roy, wrong way. But Roy couldn't hear. He was so excited. Just when he was about to score a self goal, right? One of his opponents came and tackled him down. Pushed him down. He said, what, Roy, what are you doing? Fortunately, that goal was saved. Okay? Roy was devastated. Okay? And you know what happens, right? When people want to score a self goal. In India, they'll shoot you and all that. I mean, if something like that happens. Yeah? It's terrible. It's an embarrassment. I mean, you can't score a goal into your opponents. You want to score a goal into your own goalpost? Nonsense. Yeah, and this happens. Okay? And this happens. And it's halftime. And halftime, there's a dressing room. And what happens in dressing rooms? People who follow sport know what I'm talking about. What happens during dressing room sessions? Discussions is a more polite word. Yeah, a lot of firing happens, right? Yeah, that's a better word of using. A lot of firing happens. They thrash you. Like, what were you thinking? What were you doing? So the whole team is looking at what the coach is going to say, right? People want to see Roy get fired. And when the halftime was over, the coach is not saying anything. Halftime gets over. And Roy says, I mean, the coach comes and says, he just makes one announcement. He says this. He says, the team that played the first half will play the second half also. The team that played the first half will play the second half also. So the team again, they were confused. Nobody's talking. They keep running. They went into the field. And there's Roy in a corner, right? His head in his arms, weeping like a baby, not knowing what to say, what to do, where to go, where to look. So the coach walks up to the Roy and says, Roy, didn't you hear what I said? I said, the team that played the first half is going to play the second half as well. So Roy looks at the coach and says, Coach, I'm not playing. Coach says, why not? And Roy says, Coach, I've been an embarrassment to you. I'm an embarrassment to the University of Georgia Tech. I'm embarrassment to football. I'm an embarrassment to myself. I am not playing. And the coach put his arms around Roy's shoulder and said, Roy, the game isn't over yet. Roy, the game isn't over yet. People who saw the football, you know, if you look at the sports commentators, they would tell you this. They have never seen a footballer play a game the way Roy played his second half. They have never seen a footballer play football the way Roy played the second half. Why? Why? Because there was a person who was willing to give him a second chance. You know, people always ask me, Sir, you're jobless, sir. Saturday afternoon, you should be sleeping. You should be taking rest after all your travel and all that. Why you go preach? People don't even care what you say. You go and sing some songs. Who wants to hear your singing? Why do you do that? And I tell them, the only reason I do that is this. There's a God who gave me a second chance. How can I not sing about Him? How can I not speak about Him? He gave me a second chance. And He can give you a second chance as well. He's given me a second and third and fourth and a lot of chances. So if you think that it's too late, Samson's story will tell you it's not late. It's not too late. Yes, we need to be careful. It's a balance, right? It's a huge balance of the story of grace and the responsibility of man. Huge balance. We don't want to waste our life like Samson, for sure. God's got so much, and we've already wasted enough. Enough. That's enough. Let's not do it again. If you would commit your life to the Lord and say, God, I know I wasn't sure. Maybe I kind of wasted 2015. Maybe I didn't do it right. Would you give me another chance? And the Bible says, but Samson's hair began to grow again. So that's the warning and the message of hope I want to leave you at the beginning of 2016. God has got so much to do with you. So much to do with you. Do not get disheartened. Do not give up. God wants to shape you. You are still work in progress. He's got a lot of work to do in your life and in my life. So many times I want to give up, right? It's one of those times when one of my friends suicided. He said, I don't know why I'm living. He suicided. And that's when I wrote a song called Get Back Up. It's on YouTube. You can check it out. I wrote the song called Get Back Up because I knew of a savior who was willing to give him a second chance or a third chance. Didn't matter. God is there to give us that second chance. So 2016, let's go with this. God, if you can use me, use me. Whatever you need to do in my life, do it in my life. I failed you in coming to, number one, dishonoring my parents. I failed you in not putting the proper boundaries. I failed you in walking too close to the boundaries, in flirting with sin. I have failed in these areas only. You know, I don't know. But it's a time to recommit. Let that not keep you away from God. Let it drive you towards the God of grace. Towards the God of grace. Alright? So let's pray and then we close. And then I don't know what the next sessions are. Whatever it is, let's just pray and close and then we'll decide what to do. Okay? Oh, that's it? Oh, so you have to kind of put up with me again, alright? So, just a cup of tea that will kind of give you a little bit of relaxation. But let's pray, okay? I want you to kind of bow your heads and focus on the Lord and be serious with Him. Like I told you when I came, I'm sure that God will speak to somebody. I don't know who it is, but God's Word will do its job. That's the speciality of the Word of God, alright? So if the life of Samson has been a warning to you, has been an encouragement to you, I want you to examine your hearts. Ask the Lord, Lord, test my heart. The wickedness that is in me, I'm not even aware if you are about to leave me or not. That's the kind of situation I am. Test my heart. If there is any wickedness in me, I pray that you would restore me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Let that be our prayer. If you have lost the joy of your salvation, the Lord will return it to you. He will put focus, vision. He will give you clarity of thought. Just be honest with God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you because we matter to you. We thank you, O Lord, because this day was ordained even before the foundations of the world. We know, O God, that there is somebody who would take a decision and recommit or commit his or her life today. We know that, Lord. Your word will do its job. Your word is spirit, it is life. And we thank you, O God, for that. I pray, O Lord, for each and every one of us, the elders, me, and the young people here, O God. Every single person who is in this room, we pray. And we ask you, God, that you would give us the grace to understand that you love us so much that you're willing to give us a second chance. But also help us to understand, Lord, the severity of sin and the consequence of sin and what it can do to us and the destruction it can do, O God, to your purposes in our lives. We thank you because you're sovereign over our mistakes also. But Lord, we don't want to waste our lives. We ask you to forgive us of our arrogance, of our disobedience, of our lust, of our anger, of our selfishness. Lord, we confess to you. Holy Spirit, come and do that kind of surgery in our lives, O God. Purify us, sanctify us with your word, I pray. God, we desire to live holy lives in front of you. We desire, God, not able to do it with our strength. We thank you because you will perfect everything that concerns us. Our trust is in you. We look to you, the author and perfecter of our salvation. We thank you, O God, because you will not lose a single person who's entrusted his or her life to you. We thank you because you, O God, are sovereign over everything. So this afternoon, even as we bow our heads and our hearts before you, we ask you for amazing grace, Master, that even as we live our lives in this wicked world, that you would sustain us, that you would preserve us, that we would be sensitive to thy Holy Spirit, that we will not take your grace for granted. God, do as you wish. I pray, O Lord, that you would do whatever you want in our lives. Thank you, Lord, because your plans for us are perfect. Help us to fall in line with your will. Everything that we have been holding on to, Lord, we want to let go this afternoon. Every single relationship, every single habit, every single thought, every single thing that has kept us away from you, we let go this afternoon. We want to hold on to you. We want to embrace you, O God. Holy Spirit, help us. Holy Spirit, fill us. Every area of our lives, sanctify us. Make us like gold, O Lord. Lord, we don't want to have anything in our lives that keeps us from you. Nothing. Not an iota of sin, Lord. Let it be remain in our lives. I pray that you would pluck it and take it away. Thank you because you are a God of second chances. We can run to you, Lord, knowing very well that 2016 need not be like 2015. That we can walk with confidence, knowing that you would perfect everything that concerns us. Knowing very well that you, O God, would restore our lives. That you, O God, would heal us of our sickness. That you, O God, would heal us of our addictions. Everything would be broken in your name, O Lord. We thank you for that. That we don't have to live a life of addiction in 2016. We thank you for that. God, I pray for every single young person who's bowed his or her head this afternoon. I pray, O Lord, that you would anoint them with a special anointing, that they may be able to serve you in 2016, Lord, that they might be able to be not bad advertisement like Samson, but they would be amazing advertisement for you, O Lord, in these coming days. That people would look at them and they would be a pointer to the cross of Jesus Christ. That people would understand the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ because of their lives. Master, I pray, O Lord, that you would make them good advertisement in 2016. That even as we run this race together, Lord, that we would spur each other on and that we would look to you for more grace in these coming days. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Yeah, while I was hearing a small, it's not a story, it's a real thing. It has happened in India, a preacher. He was a very famous preacher and he fell in a very serious sin. You know what happened? He was traveling all over the world. A preacher who was mightily used by God and he fell in a very serious sin. You know what happened? He stopped preaching. He stopped all his activities. And he stayed in house all alone. Because, you know, for a preacher, that is his, you know, his life passion. That is the most important thing in his life. And he thought that he lost everything. And in his house, all alone, he was started reading the Bible, praying to God, because there is no future. There is no hope for him. But one day, while he was reading the Bible, he saw this particular verse. Samson's hair began to grow. That simple verse, you know, his heart was ignited. A fresh anointing came upon him. You know, he came out of his house and again God gave him the grace to preach and again God has mightily used him again all over the world. Our God is a God of second chances. Not only second chances, third, fourth, and 100th chance. So let us have hope in God. Whatever consequences, whatever serious problems we are going through, sometimes we may think, okay, I cannot stand in front of God. I failed God. I blasphemed the name of God. I don't have a future. But our God is a God of grace and He will give you one more chance.
ശ്രവിക്കുമൂലം നിങ്ങളുടെ ഹൃദയത്തിൽ നല്ല ചില ആഗ്രഹങ്ങൾ ഉൾക്കടപ്പെട്ടുവെങ്കിൽ ഞങ്ങൾ കൃതാർത്ഥരായി. കൂടുതൽ ആത്മീയ സന്ദേശങ്ങൾ കേൾക്കുവാൻ www.charismaticassembly.org എന്ന വെബ്സൈറ്റ് സന്ദർശിച്ചാൽ